first thing that comes to your mind when you think of courage? And this is where you give me some feedback. What is courage? What do you think of? Anyone? Mm-hmm. Okay. A knight in a shining armor. What else? What do you think of when you think of courage? Yes.
Keep on going when it's impossible.
Okay. Yep. Yes.
Facing your fears.
Facing your fears. That's a good one. What else? Yeah.
Speaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a strong correlation with courage is there has to be, there's a fear involved, facing evil. A couple of the things that I came up with was a brave warrior charging out to battle. A couple of other ones is the police officers, firefighters, medics, and soldiers. Those are all like your good examples of courage, your classic examples. But there are also other ones, like pastors and missionaries who also have courage, or even business leaders. A couple years ago, I watched, many of you may have even know, of the debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye. That was a great display of courage for the Christian faith. Another one is superhero. A superhero has moral courage. And again, there are six different types of courage that we'll get into later on. And then finally, there's you and me. I guarantee you that everyone in this room has displayed at least one type of courage in their life, if not more. So let's set the foundation. What is courage? Courage is the ability to do something that frightens one. The strength in the face of pain or grief, mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Again, that fear, there's fear involved or difficulty. And finally, to have courage of one's convictions to act in accordance with one's beliefs, especially in spite of criticism. And I think that's one that really goes right along with Christianity and what we have to deal with in our walk in the faith. So again, going to our scripture reading, Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Now, I won't read it all over again, but God is commanding Joshua and the Israelite people to be strong and courageous and to follow what follow his word, and they will have success. God commands Joshua to be strong and courageous three times. At first, it's be strong and courageous, and then it's only be strong and very courageous. And then finally, I really like how it ends with be strong and very courageous, and there's an exclamation point. It's excitement. Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord will be with you wherever you go. And I think that's so cool, because wherever we go, God will be with us. So why should we fear? So as I mentioned in the beginning, there are six types of courage. There's physical, social, moral, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. Now, last week, I didn't really make this a Christmas message, but I decided to add a little bit of Christmas in because I thought it'd be really cool. So let's look at the first one, which is physical courage. Bravery at the risk of bodily harm or death. It involves developing physical strength, resiliency, and awareness. And the first thing that came to my mind for a Christmas example was when Joseph and Mary, after they had Jesus, were fleeing from Herod. They were fleeing because they were in danger. Herod was out to harm them and get rid of Jesus. So they had to flee. They had to take everything that they knew and leave and go to Egypt. That was physical courage. Social courage is a type of courage that is also very familiar to most of us, as it involves the risk of social embarrassment, exclusion, unpopularity, or rejection. It also involves leadership. Now, continuing with this Christmas theme, Mary, before she had Jesus living her life, and the angel came to her, and she had to accept, she accepted that she was going to have a child. Now, she was going to be, if people knew about this, she was going to be socially rejected because she was a virgin and she was going to have a child, but she was also going to get married to Joseph, and that was just going against everything that was socially accepted back then. So she was facing social rejection. Next one is moral courage. This involves doing the right thing, particularly when risk involves shame, opposition, or disapproval of others. Here we enter into ethics, integrity, the resolution to match the word and action with values and ideals. It's not about who we claim, or wait, wrong one. So, moral courage, I had the wise men. They decided to refuse the offer that Herod presented and to listen to the angel that came to them and go a different way home. They were choosing to do what's right and not lead Herod to Jesus. Emotional courage. This type of courage opens us up to feeling the full spectrum of positive emotions at the risk of encountering negative ones. It's strongly correlated with happiness. Intellectual courage. This speaks to our willingness to engage with challenging ideas, to question our thinking, and to risk making mistakes. It means discerning and telling the truth. Now, going back to Ken Ham versus Bill Nye, wow, what a display of courage he had of the evolutionary worldview and biblical creation. To get up there and have the courage to open yourself up to rejection and to share your ideas and share how you feel. As Christians, we're going to deal with this many times. As our faith, people aren't always going to accept us. And we need to challenge those other ideas with what we believe in. Finally, we have spiritual courage. This fortifies us when we grapple with questions about our faith, purpose, and meaning. So I'm up here speaking in front of you today, and as Pastor Maley said, we're up here to give the truth and preach what the Bible says. And it takes a lot of courage. In 2 Timothy 2:15, which is not that one, 2 Timothy 2:15, it really talks about being a workman for God and presenting the truth. And why that takes so much courage is because if we get something wrong, then we're leading so many people astray into the wrong direction. So it takes a lot of courage to get up and preach. And that's why for missionaries and pastors, it takes a lot of courage to go and get up in front of a pulpit or go to foreign countries and share the good news of Christ to other people. We are charged to speak the truth of the Bible and not lead people astray. Discouragements and persecution. So I'm sure many of you have phobias. I have a fear of spiders. I have arachnophobia. It's true. Now, I may not scream and run away, but deep down inside, I am utterly terrified of spiders. But this is where we have to ask ourselves, are we relying on God instead of giving in to our fears? We need to really rely on him and not let those fears control our life. A man who really experienced a lot of fear and who had to exhibit a lot of courage, in fact, all of these different types of courage, was Elijah. Now, Elijah was the first type of courage, physical courage. He had to risk his life many times. In 1 Kings 17, or chapter 17, verse 1, he had to face King Ahab. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there will be neither dew nor rain in these years except by my word.'" Now Elijah went in front of Ahab because Ahab was leading the people of Israel astray. He was acting in evil, and he was setting up altars and statues to worship Baal. And you can see that in chapter 16 towards the end. Now Ahab didn't like Elijah confronting him. So naturally, Ahab wanted to get rid of Elijah. He wanted to kill Elijah. So Elijah had to run away. So this led to Elijah out in the wilderness. And again, he had to trust in God to nourish him in the wilderness while he was fleeing from Ahab. Social courage. And I combine this with moral courage because there was a really good example when again, he faced Ahab multiple times, telling him that the drought was going to plague Israel, and Ahab was going to kill Elijah. Elijah was facing rejection by his people because they were following after Ahab. Emotional courage. In 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 10, am I on there? Says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel that all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came back to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." Again, another display of physical courage, running away and having to put his life on the line for what he believed in. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'Is it enough, O Lord, that my life, take my life, for I am not better than my father's.' He lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, 'Arise, eat, because your journey is too great for you.' So he arose, ate and drank, and went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he came to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said to him, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the son of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away from me.'" Emotional courage. Elijah was opening himself up to depression and those negative feelings. But at the end, God was encouraging him and lifting his spirits in his time of need. Finally, spiritual courage and intellectual courage. Let's start with spiritual courage. I really love towards the around the middle or the climax of Elijah's encounter with Ahab when he challenged the priests of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. This was a spiritual war going on between light and darkness. Elijah faced a spiritual battle for the hearts of the people of Israel. If he could prove that by challenging the prophets of Baal that God, that the God of Israel was the one true God, he was going to win back the hearts of the people for God. Where do we face spiritual battles today? In work, school, friends, church, even family. There are so many places that we are going to counter this in our lives. Intellectual courage. This was also an intellectual battle between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. He was not only challenging their faith, but their God directly. He was mocking Baal, and I always love when Elijah was taunting them and trying to challenge them and see if their God was really true. So speak out for what you believe in. It's really hard to do that, especially these days. But Christians throughout the Bible have had to deal with this. In Acts chapter 4, this was the beginning of the church. This is when everything was starting to take root and the apostles were going out and sharing the gospel. But again, as the church was taking root, this also means that persecution was starting to take root as well. In Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 20, it says, "But so that it will not be spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" We cannot stop speaking about what we have heard and what we have seen. If we give in to that, we are letting darkness win. So, going on to what you may know as martyr or persecution of these days. I'm going to tell you a story about a gentleman by the name of Muhammad, who was only a teenager when he was forced to live in a half-constructed apartment building after his family threw him out for going to church. As a Fulani herdsman, Muhammad's parents were strict Muslims and kicked him out when he started attending church. He spent the next 6 years living in a building without plaster, windows, or a pillow to sleep on until he finished school. Because I was Fulani, I didn't know how to read or write until the day I started going to church. From there, I sent myself to school to learn. At age 18, extremely unwell and nowhere to go, no money, Muhammad tried to return home but was again rejected, even by his siblings. My brothers told me, "It would be better if I were dead than for them to associate with an unbeliever," said Muhammad. Soon, he met a Christian man who occasionally helped him with food and money and was a constant source for encouragement. He would tell me, "Be strong. This season that you're going through will pass and you will forget it." The man told him about a Bible school, but without money, it would be impossible for him to attend. Muhammad contacted the Bible school. They confirmed that he needed tuition fees. I prayed and said, "God, if you want me to go to this school, you will provide for me." After that prayer, he received a phone call saying that his fees had been paid for, and he began attending the school. He does not know who paid for it. Muhammad soon realized he would struggle to gain acceptance even within the Christian communities because of his Fulani background. Even after completing Bible school, time and time again, Muhammad found himself with nowhere to go and no money. "I wasn't accepted by Christians or Muslims, and if it wasn't for the love that I had for Jesus, I would have never stayed a Christian," he said. At age 25, Muhammad only recently arrived at YWAM and knows this is where his new journey begins. "In these things I've gone through, I know that God has been training me," he also said. "If I meet people that go through this, I'll be able to listen to them and hold them and be there for them." Muhammad had recently been in contact with his mother, and she started to speak to him again. "Since then, I prayed that God would not allow my mother to die until she knows Jesus." Despite the rejection he lived with, the emotional battles he was facing, Muhammad is standing strong in his faith. "Everything that you see about me is through Jesus. The gentleness, everything I have. Nothing can separate me from Christ, not even my own family. People have offered me everything, money, cars, if I would come back to Islam. I said, no, you cannot change me." What a testimony that is for us. I think back to that man that was encouraging him. How many people do we know that we could be an encouragement to if they're going through a rough spot? Give them courage. When we're in a time where we need some encouragement, how many people do we know that we could turn to and look to for encouragement? The closer and more active that we are for Christ, the more Satan is going to attack us. So it's important for us to surround ourselves with strong believers and not surface-dwelling believers. A psalm that really goes well with courage is Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to go through this bit by bit. This year I was taking a class about the Psalms, and it was really cool because we learned how to dissect. So we'll go and do that right now. So let's start out. "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" These lines are descriptions of God's care, followed by a question proclaiming the author's newfound courage in Christ. Going to verse 2, "When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fell. If my enemy encamps against me," which is a description of a threat, "my heart will not fear." And then an expression of trust. If a war rises against me, again, a description of threat. "In spite of this, I am confident." Finally ending out with an expression of trust. These last four lines are similar, and they repeat for emphasis. So how are we going to live for Christ? Now, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, Paul was imprisoned and writing to the people of Philippi. This was all before his trial in Rome before Caesar. Now, I'm guessing that the conditions he was in were not ideal. I doubt imprisonment is ever ideal. But he's writing to the people of Philippi, and he's encouraging them. He says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word without fear." And I think it's really cool. Two things that are really cool. One is that in verse 13 it says, "So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has been well known throughout the Praetorian Guard and to everyone else." They saw the testament of Paul's faith so much that they could see that he was living for Christ and that it was well known for them, among them. Then going on to the final verse, verse 14. Instead of his brethren being discouraged by Paul's imprisonment and letting that get them down, instead it had quite the opposite effect. They took courage and they used that as fuel to go and speak the word without fear. And thus Paul was not using his own experiences to let others get down. He was encouraging. How does this apply to us? Well, the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. And that's 1 John 2, verses 17. We're not going to be on this earth forever. It's such a short time. How are we going to use our lives for the glory of God? Are we going to be courageous and go out and speak the truth, even if we risk everything? We risk social rejection, in front of many people. What are we willing to sacrifice? Our homes, our time, our food, our money. The list could go on. There's so many things that we should be willing to sacrifice for God. So one of the last points I made at the beginning for all the different examples of courage, different people, I mentioned you and me. Each one of us has courage, whether we show it or not. How are we going to go out from here today and show courage? I encourage all of you to go out from here today and show courage. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I come before you today, and I just thank you again that I was here and able to present the word of God to everyone here, and I just pray that we can take it to heart and that we can show courage, Lord, and that we can use all the people in the Bible as encouragement and an example for how we should show courage, Lord. And I just thank you that you inspire us and that you are the one that ultimately gives us the strength to go out and do to share your word, Lord. And I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Good job, Bubba.
Thank you.
Let's stand and sing one last time.
Today.
Well, yeah, today. I mean...